Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From KMOX Sports.
Okay, boys, here we go.
Welcome to the Graybar Sports Open Line.
Those mid swings, and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Here we go.
Now, Matt Pauly on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, man, let's get going here.
Here we go. Let's go.
We do welcome you into the program. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line, a strike zone hour here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. I'll have you till 7 o'clock this evening, and then we'll get out of here a little early tonight because we're going to play back the Chatterbox podcast where Kyle McClellan, former Cardinals pitcher, got the chance to sit down with Whitey Herzog for about an hour. Just a fantastic conversation, and just after we learned yesterday about Whitey's passing, an opportunity to play that back for you. You're not going to want to miss that. Yeah, these are... It's moments like these where we've got something like this conversation with Whitey where you just appreciate and credit to everybody at the Cardinals connected to radio, you know, Ben Boyd, the people here at KMOX, like Matt Pajeski and certainly all the people that came before me and Tom Ackerman and everybody. The archive that we have of audio between KMOX and the Cardinals Radio Network is amazing. I mean, it is nothing short of amazing what we have and what we're able to play back. You know, it was Jackie Robinson Day the other day, and what do? We play back a conversation that Jackie had with Jack Buck. Like, it's just, there's always stuff available. But what's also important is that we continue to have these archive things available. So when people do pass away, that we've got things down on record and stuff that people can listen back to. And it's just, I don't know if any other baseball team, any other baseball radio network, any other radio station in the country has the archive of audio that we have. And things like the Chatterbox podcast is a very important part of that. The Friday Night Live by Lowe's programs are a big part of that. Some of the stuff we do on Countdown to Opening Day during the off season is a part of that. Some of the conversations that maybe will be had up in the broadcast booth during game, like there's a lot there, and it's really cool. And I see more social media reaction to when we're playing back some of this really cool stuff than to almost anything else we do. So I know people out there enjoy it. Yesterday when we did this show and we devoted it to Whitey Herzog, and we got to talk to people about Whitey yesterday on the program, when we had Ozzie Smith and Terry Pendleton and Dave LaPointe and then everybody else who was on the station throughout the course of the day. You don't want to have reasons to do those sort of things, but it is important that you are able to do those sort of things. And by the way, if you did miss out on the Whitey Herzog show yesterday, it is available via archive. I linked to it on my Twitter account. You can find me at Matt Pauly on air. You don't have to be a Twitter member, subscriber, have a Twitter account to view my tweets. So you can just go to twitter.com/Matt Pauly on air and scroll down a little bit, and you'll see the tweets where you can get access to the Ozzie Smith, the Terry Pendleton, and the Dave LaPointe interview. So that's all going to be available for you. This is what we've got coming up on Sports Open Line today. We are going to talk with Nate Gatter coming up in just a few moments. We'll get into a few things with him. I'll get his thoughts on baseball in addition to doing some City SC and soccer stuff with him. Did want to mention very quickly, because we spent so much time talking on the extra inning show about the Cardinals struggling from an offensive standpoint. You think about the group of players that are on this current Cardinals roster from a position player. When you look at the position players, the young players, the group that looks like they're going to be the next core of this team as we're building the future, sponsored by Graybar, your distributor for electrical and data communication needs. I think it is notable to take a look at what a Mason Wynn is doing, what a Jordan Walker is doing, what a Victor Scott is doing, and what a Nolan Gorman is doing. And so far, it's been so good for Mason Wynn. Wynn is now hitting .347 through 17 games, a guy who had no pressure on him coming into the season to be an offensive force. His job was to come in and be a strong defensive player at shortstop and to not get himself out at the plate. Go take good professional at-bats. If you get beat, you get beat. There was very little pressure on him from an offensive standpoint. And look, it's only 17 games. The league's going to catch up to him. It's going to be an ebb and flow. He's a young guy. It always happens. But it's really good to see what Wynn is doing right now. Where those other guys, it's been a little bit of a mixed bag. Jordan Walker still trying to get things going. He's hitting .180 with a .546 OPS. He only has 5 extra base hits this year and has yet to hit a home run. He's hitting the ball on the ground way, way, way too often. We know about Victor Scott, and he's in a situation where he probably shouldn't have been in the first place, but he is continuing to struggle from an offensive standpoint. He's hitting .089, does have 3 doubles of his 5 hits. 3 of them are doubles, has done a nice job when it comes to stealing bases. He's 2 for 2, but he has struggled. Nolan Gorman, it's been a little bit mixed for him as well. His batting average just .191. He's got the 3 home runs, but that group, that young group, if they can continue to just find some more consistent at-bats, that's going to go a long way from this team winning a few more games. Again, the Cardinals fall today to Oakland by a 6-3 score. We'll come back and we'll chat with our good friend Nate Gatter, friend of the program, co-host of the St. Louis City Soccer Report, and some other things here at KMOX. He joins us in just a moment. It's Graybar Sports Open Line. We're doing a Strike Zone Hour here on KMOX.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Graybar Sports Open Line, the Strike Zone Hour here on KMOX. My name's Matt Pauly. So we just learned, actually, today we have a camera here in the KMOX studio that Fox 2 can actually, like, look in on. Like, you could be watching the Fox 2 morning news, and all of a sudden they've just got a shot of the KMOX studio. Our producer extraordinaire, Matt Pajeski, was just throwing sunflower seeds up in the air and catching them with his mouth. And it would be just fantastic if that would be the moment that Fox 2 decided to take our image from here in our KMOX Studio B. All that being said, let's shift gears in a weird way and bring in our very good friend, Nate Gatter. You hear him on KMOX. He is the co-host of the St. Louis City Soccer Report. Great guy all the way around. And Nate, before we even like take any step further, we have not spoken since you were doing college basketball games in the tournament for Westwood One, the national radio broadcast, which is fantastic. Westwood One is amazing, and I'm glad they brought you in, and I was so happy for that. So publicly, congratulations on that very, very cool assignment.
I appreciate that, Matt. It was a really fantastic experience. I feel really lucky to have been a part of it. It was, you know, at times surreal because it felt so big, and at times surreal because it felt so normal and like, you know, any other, 2 weeks prior I had been doing Knox against SLU women's basketball on KMOX, and ultimately it's not that different. The job is still the same. So that was the part that stuck out to me, is how it alternated between feeling so new and at the same time so old and mundane in that it was the same as all other stuff I'd been doing. But I can tell you that also, just to shift back to what you were saying before, Matt Pajeski is an endless source of entertainment for me in that studio. He always has some kind of interesting snack, and it doesn't surprise me at all that he's adept at throwing things up in the air and catching them with his mouth.
Yeah, it shouldn't shock anybody. That you look at him, you get to know him, and you're like, that's a guy who can throw things up in the air and catch them, right?
It's hard unless you know him. He's just sort of a renaissance man of that type of thing, right? He's just a multi-talented guy. He's very capable, very knowledgeable. He just knows what's going on, and that's one of those skills. If you're that kind of guy, it's one of those skills you have.
Can you throw sunflower seeds up and catch them in your mouth?
Maybe back in the day. I used to be very good at spitting them with, like, precise accuracy. So, like, back in high school baseball, that was a skill that was really valuable. You know, during a rain delay or something, you'd put, like, the cardboard Gatorade cups, and you'd put them through one of the holes in the chain link fence so that you had essentially a circular target that would catch the seed, and we'd spit seeds at them from a certain distance away and have competitions, and I was very good at that. But I don't know that there was ever a whole lot of throwing them in the air and then catching them. I would be concerned that I would catch one too well, and it would just go, like, straight down my throat, and I'd start hacking it back up and just look like an idiot. But Matt doesn't have to worry about that because he's just cool.
That's very true. I've never been able to do the thing where you put a bunch of sunflower seeds in your mouth, you crack them open in your mouth, you take the sunflower seed down, the end part, and then the shells come. I've just never been able to do that.
Yeah, it takes a lot of practice, Matt. The key is to be a not very good player on a baseball team that plays a lot of games.
Fair enough. Speaking of baseball, obviously the big news yesterday locally was the passing of Whitey Herzog. And as you being a baseball fan and being in this community, when you heard that news and maybe did a little reflecting upon what he means to Cardinals baseball, and we still hear Whitey Ball being talked about so often, what was that initial reaction for you yesterday?
I think when I reflected on it, it's thinking about the way, even if we don't talk about him as much on the national scale as maybe we should, the way his impact is still felt in baseball today. For me, that's the most exciting, entertaining brand of baseball that there is. Whitey Ball, you know, it's about the ball being in play. It's about defense. It's about, more than anything, speed. And I understand that a lot of people are really into the home run, and obviously there are home runs can be exciting in their own way. To me, nothing is more exciting than actual action playing out in front of you as a fan, and a home run happens so quickly. I mean, the moment of contact is fleeting. You can't even really see it with the naked eye. Then the ball is just flying in the air. There's no interaction happening. When I would much rather have, you know, a stolen base, there's going to be interaction between multiple different players and the ball, and it's going to be playing out for a period of time where you can be in suspense while that's happening, right? Even Henry Aaron, who hit as many home runs at the time as anybody in the history of baseball, said that the triple was the most exciting play in baseball because of the way the suspense built as the guy's not only running for second, but you realize he's going to go for third, right? I think, especially for people in the ballpark, that's the most exciting kind of play. And to me, for that and a lot of other reasons, Whitey played the most exciting brand of baseball. And I think what we've seen, even if we're nowhere near true Whitey ball still, what we've seen in the last couple of years is an acknowledgement from almost everyone collectively, and certainly from Major League Baseball, that getting too far away from that is bad for the product. And that's why they, among other reasons, why they increased the size of bases to try to stimulate steals, why they eliminated the shift to try to make putting a ball in play more inherently valuable. And I think we're going to continue to see Major League Baseball try to do what they can to stimulate balls in play and that sort of old school Whitey ball action. Because, again, I don't see how anyone could watch Whitey ball and then could watch, you know, peak uppercut home run era baseball and think the latter is more entertaining.
Yeah, I think it's one of the biggest issues facing the game right now. I always say that general managers, managers, president of baseball operations, their job is to put together a team and a philosophy that wins games. Their philosophy is not to make the game as most aesthetically pleasing as possible. And I think a lot of people sometimes confuse good-looking baseball with winning baseball. So the numbers would indicate that you need to string hits together and you need that you can't really string hits together anymore. It's hard to do against today's pitching. So you need home runs. You need extra base hits to score runs. But it feels different. There's just this rub of there's a pathway to winning baseball. There's a pathway to aesthetically pleasing baseball. And even with all the stuff that you just mentioned, which is correct, those paths are still different.
They are still different, and I totally agree. It is not the responsibility of anyone who has a competitive position, meaning someone who's working for a team in a baseball position, whether that's a player, a coach, a manager, a general manager, another, you know, president of baseball operations, whatever various titles people are using now. And that's why it's incumbent upon the league to do things like banning the shift and making the bases bigger to try to make a stolen base a statistically better play, to try to increase the value of any given ground ball or line drive relative to where it is against the shift, right? Because obviously, if you're a dead pull hitter and there are three guys on that side of the infield, now your likelihood of getting a ground ball through the right side is very low. It's just going to even further incentivize you to hit it to the one place they can't shift, which is the outfield seats, right? I get all of those things. And so I think I was really pleased to see those two changes. I think already, I mean, objectively, steals are way up from where they were a couple of years ago. So I was really excited about that. And I hope that we can keep finding ways that Major League Baseball can tweak things from a rule standpoint to try to just incentivize the ball, putting the ball in play as much as possible. I don't necessarily know what the next step is that makes sense in that regard. Probably some of it has to do with trying to affect the plane of the pitch. I wouldn't be opposed to the idea of exploring lowering the mound a little bit to try to decrease the plane of the pitch, essentially make it a little bit flatter as it's coming into the batter and make hitters who would want to have that upper launch angle actually have to uppercut, which decreases your odds of success as opposed to now just sort of getting on the plane of the pitch. That'd be pretty drastic. I'm not necessarily pitching that. I think it's something that you would have to explore. Maybe we'd see that tinkered with in the independent leagues that are now major league partner leagues, that the way they did with this group of rule changes and the way they have been with, you know, the challenge system on the automated strike zone and those sorts of things. But certainly to me, it's just, we should be doing everything we can to try to incentivize that kind of baseball because it's just a blast. I mean, the players that I most want to pay to go see, and again, I recognize not everyone is like this, but the players I most want to pay to go see are not the Joey Gallo's or Ryan Howard's or David Ortiz's of the world. It's to me, it's like the Trey Turner's. Anybody who knows me knows that, like, that Trey Turner jumps out as like my favorite guy to watch. But there are lots of other guys like that who are, you know, bring you all elements, who can put the ball in play, but who more importantly can affect the game with their speed. I think those are the most exciting players, and hopefully we can do everything we can to maximize the value of those players and maximize the value of playing that way.
Yeah, we'll see where this goes, because baseball, I think, agrees with you. It's just, how do you implement that? And plus, we always have the battle between baseball and the players, where the owners might try to change some rules. Manfred might try to change some rules. They might be something that everybody wants to go for, but just because of that relationship between the two, we saw this year when they tweaked the pitch clock again, players were very much against that. So it's tough to find progress in the game.
That is definitely true. And I don't begrudge the players for, you know, I think it's great that Major League Baseball has a really strong players union. I think it's great that they are at least coming around now again to realizing that they've given away a surprising amount of their power over the last 20 years, and that what was unquestionably once the strongest union in sports certainly is not as powerful as it once was. I think they are taking steps right now to try to correct that. There's been sort of a public and I think somewhat messier than they would prefer power struggle at the top of the union. I think Tony Clark's grasp on his position is a lot more tenuous than it was a couple of years ago, maybe even than it was a couple of months ago. We'll see how that plays out. But certainly, I think it behooves everyone one way or another. Well, I shouldn't say everyone, because to your point, individual players could certainly be hurt or helped disproportionately by specific rule changes that might be considered. But I think it helps the community broadly, all the groups, whether that's owners, whether it's the league office, whether it's the individual teams, the broadcast partners, the fans, for all of us to have the most entertaining possible product. And certainly it is incumbent upon the league, and to the extent the Players Association is involved in those negotiations, the Players Union as well, to arrive on the best format of the game, the best rules we can create in order to foster a competitive incentive to play baseball that way, because it's totally unreasonable, to your initial point, to expect Oliver Marmol or John Mozeliak to prioritize playing a brand of baseball they think is more entertaining, even if they don't think it's most likely to win.
Talking with friend of the program, Nate Gatter, you hear him on the St. Louis City Soccer Report. Let's get to City. They come away with a win this past weekend against Austin FC, 1-0. Two very good things. The first good thing is they win, and they hadn't done that in a while. Some losses and a whole bunch of ties. And then the other really good thing is they get a goal from Klaus. It's not a perfect performance, but they needed a win, and they needed Klaus to get in the score sheet, and both those things happened this past weekend.
Yeah, certainly they'll take the 3 points. I think Bradley Carnell made it clear how important that was. Not that they've been poor necessarily in the last month or so, but certainly getting 3 points, you just got to do it when you get your opportunities, especially at home with the atmosphere they've cultivated. Also great to get Klaus on the score sheet, and it looks like they're going to be relying on him even more, because Sam Adeniran, who I think has become the fan favorite striker as Klaus has gone through this drought early in the year, and certainly with the way Adeniran played down the stretch last season, was not named in the squad at all, meaning not only was he not in the starting 11, he wasn't named among the eligible substitutes for the Austin game, which was a shocker, and Bradley Carnell commented on it vaguely at the time and with a little bit more specificity since, effectively saying that Adeniran wasn't meeting team expectations in training. And as a result, right now he's training on his own away from the team, which is not an uncommon thing in the world of soccer, but it is, I don't want to say rare, but at least not all that common that a player quickly works his way back into the team. That's a pretty big step. It does happen, but it often causes a strain that can be difficult to recover from, because it's a very clear message, not only sent within the dressing room, but now based on Carnell's comments, also shared publicly with the fan base and with the rest of the league. The curious thing is, one would imagine this is something that came on sort of suddenly with Adeniran, because not even a month ago, it was reported that City turned down $1 million offer from a Norwegian team to buy him in the transfer market. Now, could that report have been late? Maybe that offer was all the way back in January. Or could the report be, I guess, even untrue? Those things are possible. But it would be surprising to me that City would flat turn down $1 million offer for a player they were frustrated with, or who had fallen out of favor in some way with the coach. And now here we are, it was, 3 weeks later, maybe 4 weeks later now, that he's not even dressing for games. That's going to be interesting. It'll be interesting to see the tact that Bradley Carnell takes going forward and how City approached that situation, because Adeniran has been a very valuable player for City. If Klaus is back in form for the foreseeable future, maybe it won't be talked about as much. But I think whether it's City trying to get Adeniran back into the fold over the longer term, or whether it's trying to sell him while still getting value, even though other teams now know that he's fallen out of favor, either way, it's going to be interesting to see how they deal with that situation. But to your point, certainly encouraging to get the 3 points, and Klaus could be even more important than he's already been over these next few weeks or months if Adeniran is out of the team.
Last year when we looked at Sporting KC and the rivalry before really games have been played, it was about cease and desist letters and who the soccer capital was and like all this kind of silly stuff. and then they play each other, and then they play each other in the playoffs last year. It feels like that side stuff is a little bit gone now, and the rivalry is now more built upon what's actually happening inside of games.
Yeah, in some way, I think the pressure's on City this year with respect to that rivalry, because we, meaning St. Louisans generally, did a lot of talking last year, myself certainly included. And I think, you know, nothing of what happened on the field makes it any sillier how KC have approached the sporting, you know, the soccer capital discussion, or certainly the cease and desist letter. None of that goes away. But on top of that, Kansas City had such the terrible start to last season, and St. Louis City had such the incredible start to last season, that it made it easier to sort of pile on. Well, flip to the second half of the year, and St. Louis looked more pedestrian, and KC played as well as just about anybody in the league, and that bore out in the playoff series. I mean, I think that that home playoff game in particular, the first game of the series, was, you know, they didn't say it, I'm not putting words in their mouth, but in my opinion, close to an embarrassing loss for St. Louis, because top to bottom, I thought KC outworked them. They certainly outskilled them, if you will, with their very good finishing, and probably Peter Vermes outcoached Bradley Carnell as well. And we saw a coach who had seen St. Louis three times in the regular season adjust his tactics and take advantage of some of City's weak points. Now, one of the big ones was fullback, which City have taken great lengths to solve. Thomas Totland certainly has been a phenomenal addition. So I think from a personnel standpoint, City are in a better position to handle Sporting this year. But in my mind, the pressure's on City to at least show a response, and this will be a first test going away to KC this coming weekend to show that they are going to respond, and that things are going to go differently in that rivalry than they did at the end of last season.
When you look at the trajectory of the season, they finally get that win this past weekend, but things had not been going exactly the way they would like them to go. Now you have a big rivalry game this weekend. Is coming off of that, because then they'll get a weekend off, so they'll essentially not play a game for 2 weeks. Is that a good time to kind of have that break and maybe have an opportunity to press that reset button a bit?
I think it'll probably depend on how this weekend goes, yeah. Right? I mean, if they play really well and beat KC, they'll probably say, you know, we're kind of just hitting our stride here. Wouldn't be so bad to be able to keep it moving. But, you know, they've got players that are working back to fitness as well. Obviously, Edward Leuven was away from the team and away from training altogether for a time period. That Bradley Carnell's comments, they were vague and understandably so, but he made it. He led us to believe that it was personal things that Leuven had to take care of rather than any sort of injury concern. But obviously, Leuven has had some of those nagging concerns. Jabulo Blom now is out. Everybody has injuries, but from a health and fitness standpoint, probably not a bad time for that extra weekend off to arrive. And then, you know, they'll have Houston and LAFC in two of their three games, and then Cincinnati, and then Seattle, and then into Miami. You know, it's not going to be easy coming out of that break. I think this is a big game for City, and then I think there's a good chance that the first, let's say, six games or so out of that weekend off could be maybe not defining for City's season, but certainly at least define what part of the Western Conference they're really playing in when we come down the stretch. Hmm. Are they a team that can still work their way into that top four kind of conversation, or are we looking at a team that's going to be coming in that 7-10 range and sort of jockeying for position and trying to protect their playoff spot coming down the stretch? I think we'll have a lot more information about this team, say, around June 10th or 15th than we do now.
We're also now 100 days out from Leagues Cup. City issued a kind of a promotional offer today where they are going to be covering single-match League Cup's ticket fees for people who still want to get in on that. But that's just another part of this. And 100 days seems like a long time, but in reality, that's going to be here before we know it.
Yeah, and, you know, I kind of feel for the club in this regard, because they are, I think, to some degrees, victims here. Obviously, the immediate reaction people have is they're desperate to get rid of these tickets, and so they're willing to cover the fees. And a lot of people refuse to buy tickets for Leagues Cup because I think part of the reason City have so many tickets available is a lot of season ticket holders declined their tickets for Leagues Cup in response to City not participating in the U.S. Open Cup, which, you know, I give the club massive credit. They issued what I thought was a very strong statement that essentially said, we're disappointed that MLS didn't allow us to participate in the Open Cup. We respect and appreciate the history of Open Cup, not only throughout the country, but especially here in St. Louis. And it was our preference to be involved in the tournament, and we were not permitted to do so this year. It's a shame the way MLS has treated the League's Cup or the Open Cup. It's a shame the way MLS in general has prioritized profits over any sort of stewardship of the game in the U.S. that pays worthwhile and meaningful respect to its history and to all the people on whose shoulders MLS stands in the first place. To my point, it's most, I think, sad now that St. Louis City have gotten caught up in this. I think there's a good chance those League's Cup games are not sold out. And it'll be weird to see City Park without sold out seats. Maybe that doesn't happen. Maybe the prices get low enough when we get closer that they fill up in the end. Maybe City find ways to give tickets away to schools or summer camps or whatever. But it wouldn't surprise me if there are empty seats for those games. And it's a shame because the club and more importantly, the players and coaches are going to end up bearing the brunt of a fan punishment that is ultimately directed at MLS. And I don't blame the fans because MLS deserved to know. MLS absolutely deserved the protest. It's just unfortunate that there's no way to target it a little bit more toward the league and the people who ultimately made the mistakes, well, not the mistakes, the terrible decisions around Open Cup rather than having to victimize, to some extent, St. Louis City, who would have loved to play an Open Cup and made that as clear as they possibly could without being outright insubordinate to MLS.
He is Nate Gatter, co-host, St. Louis City Soccer Report. You guys are on tomorrow night, right?
Yep, we'll be on 8 to 10 tomorrow.
We will see you. I'll be in studio. We'll see you tomorrow.
All right, sounds good, sir. Looking forward to it.
All right, very good. That's Nate Gatter joining us on the program. Appreciate him taking fair amount of time with us today. We'll take one more break, come back, talk a little more Cardinals baseball, and then get you set for our one-hour conversation. We're going to play back a Chatter's Box podcast where Kyle McClellan talks with Whitey Herzog. That's going to be coming up during the 7 o'clock hour. It's fantastic. You're going to want to be tuned in. We've got more in just a moment right here on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on King of OX.
We do start to wrap up this edition of a Graybar Sports Open Line. It is a Strike Zone Hour brought to you by Graybar. What's on Deck is sponsored by Chesterfield Fence and Deck, the sign you have the very best. Tomorrow is an off day for the Cardinals, and then they're going to open up a six-game homestand, starting with a three-game series against the Brewers this weekend. They will open up with Kyle Gibson on the mound on Friday, and then Miles Michaelis and Sonny Gray will pitch on Saturday and Sunday, respectively. The Brewers projected starters, Freddie Peralta, who's having a fantastic start to his season, he'll start on Friday. D.L. Hall, a lefty, will go on Saturday. And then Colin Ray, not the country musician, will start on Sunday. He's also had a nice start to his season. He's 2-0 with a 2.70 ERA. So the Cardinals are going to face off against a couple guys who have had good starts to the season for the Brewers during these next 3 days, starting on Friday. So off day tomorrow, that means we are going to have our standard two-hour Sports Open Line from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock. And then we just talked with Nate Gatter. He's going to be on with Jen Cease from 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock. 314-436-7900. That's how you call. That's how you text. You can tweet at me at Matt Pauley on air. Got a text message just a little while ago from the 262 saying, it says, I was saying last year at the trade deadline that they should have traded Paul Goldschmidt. I still wish they would have traded Goldschmidt. We can replace the first baseman. I don't know how you turn him around at this point. I'm not discounting that he has been for many years a great player. I just think he has peaked and is on the downhill side of that, and we could do something better at this point. So I am surprised at Goldschmidt's lack of production. He's played 18 games. We're still in small sample size period. Guys have bad months. That happens. Now, when it's the first month of the season and they're coming off a year where they took a step back because he was the MVP 2 years ago, last year he wasn't bad. His numbers fell off. They were not to the bar that he had set for himself. I thought that he was going to have a pretty big bounce back season this year, which he still can, but the numbers are what they are, right? And he's a 182 hitter right now. He is not producing extra base hits. he has a home run. He does not have a double. He does not have a triple. He has a 516 OPS. Like there's not really a good number on here for Paul Goldschmidt. And I think what it does remind you is there had been some talk in spring training that maybe he would be somebody that was going to get a contract extension. Now you do have to start wondering how much truth there is to what the texter texted in about him being on the wrong side of it. Now, the idea of trading him, I don't know how much value there would have been for him last year, how much value there would be for him this year, especially if you're asking teams to pick up what's left on his salary. Not that it's that much because he's in the final year of a deal. So I don't think trading him is something that was likely to happen. And the other reason you don't want to do that last year was he was just as likely to have a bounce back season and return close to MVP form this year, which again, it's not happening. I get it. But he was just as likely to have that kind of bounce back. And the Cardinals didn't want to do anything last year that was going to negatively impact them for this year, because the stated goal was that while it did not go well last year, they absolutely intended to compete at a high level this year. And the belief is that Paul Goldschmidt and Nolan Arenado are going to be big pieces of that. Now, people were saying the exact same thing about Nolan Arenado a week ago, and all of a sudden we look at what he's doing, and he has seemingly found it. He's got the hit streak going right now, the on-base streak. He's got his batting average up to just about 300. He's at 299. The OPS has been able to inch up to 724. He finally hit that first home run. He's hitting with runners in scoring position. He's playing fantastic defense over at third. I'm not saying he's all the way back to being all-star, MVP caliber Nolan Arenado, but nobody's complaining about him right now. He's somebody that has seemingly found it. Can that happen to Paul Goldschmidt? Yeah, it can. It can. Will it? I don't know. I don't have the answer to that. I thought he was going to have a nice season this year. He struggled in spring, had the great first game, and then things have kind of fallen off past there. I do think that the Cardinals have some options for future years with what they can do at first base. Is there still a possibility that they could potentially move a Jordan Walker over to first base? I mean, that's a tough ask for a guy who was playing high school baseball essentially, what, 3 years ago, was a third baseman up until a year and a half ago, and is now trying to learn outfield on the fly. So that'd be another change. But is there a possibility that you could put a Jordan Walker at first base and become a little bit more athletic in the outfield? Athletic just in the sense, athletic was the bad word. That's the wrong word. Just become a little bit more savvy. How about that? Somebody who's a little bit more, got more veteran feel for playing the outfield. Although I think Walker's doing a perfectly fine job out there. The improvement we've seen from Walker in the outfield has been notable. It's been significant. He's made some diving plays. It's been really, really good to see. So he puts that kind of work in. Maybe you want to keep him there. But watching Paul Goldschmidt and watching to see when he is going to come around, if he's going to come around, that has certainly become a key storyline for this Cardinals team this year. All right, that's going to do it for this edition of a Graybar Sports Open Line. We've been doing the Strike Zone Hour. We're going to hear from Whitey Herzog for the next hour, a Chatter's Box podcast, his conversation with Kyle McClellan. You will not want to go anywhere. That's coming up next. I'll talk to you again tomorrow at 6 o'clock for a two-hour edition of a Graybar Sports Open Line here on KMOX.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.